Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kantos.
I shouldn't say welcome back. Good morning. Welcome. Happy to have you here.
Welcome back from last week.
Well, there you go. There's
I mean,
that,
you know, people listen.
All sorts of fun stuff on the show. If you were listening last week, Sherry and I had an interesting conversation.
Yes.
About the color of a yield sign. And I was frustrated that I missed the question.
Everybody misses that question.
I said the yield sign was yellow, and she informed me that it's been red since 1974.
Something like that. Yeah, red and white.
And so here's what happens, and it's actually important to get this understanding on this show. Now, I said yellow because when I'm playing on my computer, is a bad word, but when I'm working on my computer and something doesn't work, Microsoft uses a yellow yield sign. And because I don't expect my computer not to work, when it shows up on the screen, I'm looking at it.
Yes.
Right?
It
I am taking
attention.
In that data to figure out what in the world have I just lost?
Yep.
What's going wrong? What happens in the world that we live in is that our brains, and you know, if you've ever done this, if you've ever driven, you know, I live in Anderson, Indiana, and I used to be a professor at Purdue. It's 93 miles away, and many times I would not remember the trip.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm sure that's happened to most of you that would fess
up. Or forget where you're going halfway.
You know, well, I've never forgot where I was going. I've forgotten what day it was.
I used
to have to ask the students, is it Tuesday or Thursday? I know. Professor, whatever. Anyhow, the bottom line, though, is our minds have the ability to eliminate data that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the challenge in the financial world is there's data that you do need that your brain just doesn't know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
There are telltale signs that are out there. And I used to tell my students, and it's the biggest benefit that I got, other than meeting some wonderful people, but the biggest benefit that I got from Purdue was being forced to start over every semester. So for 14 semesters, I had to start from the beginning.
With them.
And here's the double curse of knowledge. I don't know what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why I still study, still research, tax codes change. I don't know what I don't know. But I also don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the danger to being a radio host or something else is the more I know about something, the more I give you credit for knowing it when you really may not.
Yeah.
And that was the blessing that I got at Purdue, to make sure that we kept it at the basics. You know, we take care here of people who don't want to worry about their money. We keep it as simple as we possibly can. But the mission of this show is to try to give you things that you should consider so that you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. Hey, I got to take a break. We'll be right back. 800-928-4001. Don't forget to go to the website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Get signed up for the Market Carver. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kantos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money and
in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kantos.
And we are happy to have you along. Hey, Sherry, there was a great article in the Wall Street Journal. Not sure I'm going to be able to get the date here. October 19th of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So I do research for the radio show.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes they come back into play. But I thought it was a great article. It's by Mir Statman. And the article is essentially this: how financially literate are you really?
Yeah.
And
well,
let's find out.
Are you going to ask me questions?
Well, Sherry,
No.
That's why you're here. Right?
Okay.
So it's funny because this is a very similar question that I used to ask my students at Purdue.
Uh-huh.
I always spent 7 years teaching the capstone course in financial planning there. And the author says, suppose you had $100 in a savings account and the interest rate was 2% a year.
Uh-huh.
After 5 years, how much do you think you would have in the account if you let the money grow?
Uh-huh.
More than 102? Exactly 102? Or less than 102?
More than 102.
More than 102.
Yay!
Yay,
ding,
very
ding,
good.
Ding.
Only one-third of Americans older than 50 got all three of those answers correct.
Really?
Only one-third, according to the research that they did. That is just very, very troubling. And the one that I did, I asked them, if you earned 4% a year,
yeah.
Because remember when I was teaching, it was 2008,
sure.
Through, you know, so the interest rates were just a wee bit higher before the financial crisis. If you earned 4% a year,
mm-hmm.
and it was in a CD, you know, how much did you have at the end of 5 years? And people did not understand how compound interest worked,
works,
right?
Yeah.
So the big difference that you need to understand from a bond and a CD or certificate of deposit at a bank is bonds pay coupons.
Mm-hmm.
They do not roll back into the bond.
Right.
CD, most people let the money continue to compound. So if it's a 4% annual return,
mm-hmm.
they compound quarterly. So you actually get more than 4% over the course of a year, because at the end of quarter one, you got 1%.
Right.
You had growth on that.
That's
in the second quarter.
Sure, yeah.
So you actually had more. People miss that very
in
important
CDs.
Part. That's in a CD.
Not in a bond.
Where interest typically compounds. In
right.
in a CD, or in a bond, rather, you get a coupon payment. So he said that the author of the article said, hey, we're gonna try to figure out ways to make people better spenders, better savers, and better investors.
Mm.
I add to that giving.
Yeah.
When I look
I like
at
that.
when we talk on the show and things that we should consider,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's where we are. So I'm not going to have time to hit all of these, but I want to hit a couple of them. The first question.
Oh, dear.
A surgeon perfects her surgeries.
Yes.
And increases her rate of success as she performs surgeries more often. Likewise, an investor perfects his trading and increases his rate of success as he trades more often. True or false?
He could.
The clock is ticking.
He could.
No.
Not necessarily.
No. It's false. It's false. False, 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 false.
Okay.
A surgeon is not competing with another person. They don't. Your heart doesn't move around. Your lungs don't move around.
So
the
you're
blood
saying
flows the same way.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Every time I make a trade, mm-hmm. I am competing with the person on the other end of the
table
that decided to sell it to me or buy it from me,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that competition changes as we go through life. There's a reason why I pay for a CFA, Adam mm-hmm. Harder, our chief investment strategist, because he knows more about fundamentals than I'm ever going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I pay Andrew Thrasher as a chartered market technician, because he knows more about technicals than I'm ever going to learn.
Right.
There's a reason I run the narrative part and study the demographics, pay attention to the macroeconomics, but they're constantly moving parts and pieces.
Mm.
And when people think that they spend an hour behind the computer reading about their stocks, that they're gaining some knowledge. You may be gaining insight about that company,
mm-hmm.
but you're not doing anything at all that gives you a more competitive thing for me to be able to see.
Mm.
There is if you Google it, there's a thing called point and figure market. And I don't know if you remember, point and figure is a technical term that was created by Charles Dow back in the 1890s.
Okay.
And it's essentially, it doesn't care what the company does, call it ABC.
Yeah.
But it tracks what the stock's high price was for the day and the low price was for the day. And it gave people a very easy way to figure out whether they should be buying or selling. Right. Not well known. Not well known at all. Who was the lady? I always forget her name, who got in trouble for insider trading. The famous
Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart. I emailed Martha.
Yes.
And got no response.
Ah.
Because the trade that she made.
Yeah.
Where she said that, you know, where she got in trouble for insider trading was perfectly backed up by technicals, not fundamentals. I mean, there was a perfect. All she would have had to do was handed her attorney this sheet of paper that showed the polka dots that said this is a clear, deliberate break, and this is why I sold the stock.
Yes.
But I got no response. She probably never read it, so she got to go to jail. My point is this. In my opinion, it doesn't work as well today as it did when I started using it years ago.
The system,
because now so many people use it, and computers are there.
And
so we're constantly having to upgrade our craft in terms of what it is we're doing. We have many more points of data than we used to because there's so many outlets. But to decipher that data, to distill it down to what matters, is a whole nother story. Next question. Managers of active mutual funds are investment professionals who aim to beat the market, whereas managers of index mutual funds aim to only match the market. Active fund managers are experts with special knowledge, skills, and access to a narrowly available information not available to amateur individual investors. On average, active fund managers do beat the market. Therefore, amateur individuals do better to invest in active funds than index funds. True or false?
False.
So the research...
I mean, there's lots of false about that.
There was a bunch.
Okay.
Research does show that actively traded managers do outperform the indices because we can eliminate some of the deadbeats that are obvious deadbeats.
Makes sense.
Right? We know how to stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is when you add the expenses into it, the indices many times do outweigh or do outperform what the actively traded mutual fund manager did.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, mutual funds are a very poor way for you to have your money invested if you have over $50,000. I think in the world of exchange-traded funds and where we live today, that people are playing, quote-unquote, in the wrong universe, if you will.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the fiduciary focus, risk and volatility, which matters, right? So an active-traded mutual fund or an active manager like us at the Financial Enhancement Group has a better shot at managing risk and volatility.
Right.
Fees and expenses come into play, and some would argue that an index fund has less fees and expenses than an actively traded mutual fund or the Financial Enhancement Group. And when you just look at those numbers in a net-net, they're correct. I mean, we get paid to manage money.
Right.
But part of that fee also covers the financial planning that we do. It also covers the tax planning that we do. And there's just as much research that shows that the tax planning provides more alpha than the cost of the management itself.
So when you say index funds, what you really...
The S&P 500.
But yeah, what you're saying is doing it yourself. I can go out and buy that myself.
There are some people use Vanguard to go buy the S&P 500 because they don't buy exchange traded funds.
Okay.
In almost every 401k, there is an S&P 500 lookalike. All index investing means is there's no manager inside.
I see.
Buying and selling. And at the Financial Enhancement Group, we buy and sell things based on changes to market conditions, whether that be the narrative, the fundamental, or the technical aspect of what is going on inside of the market. That's what we get paid to do. At the same time, though, we provide the financial planning that goes along with it, the five critical elements, and help people walk through the decisions they need to make. So we take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Give us a call, 800-928-4001. Sharon, I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now.
now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kontos.
And we are happy to have you along.
Yep.
There's an article that came out October of 2017 in the Wall Street Journal. How financially literate are you really? Let's find out. And so far, we have discussed how compound interest worked.
Yes.
And the some of the misunderstandings that are there. We've talked about how you can't necessarily improve your skill like you could in doing a certain thing because you're now competing against somebody who's on the other side of the trade. It's not as simple as it might appear.
Yep.
We've talked about the difference between index funds and actively traded mutual funds. Here is one of my pet peeves. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here's the question.
Okay.
All right. Mutual fund companies regularly include the number of stars, quote unquote stars, awarded to mutual funds that they advertise. Morningstar awards 5 stars to top funds in a category. This indicates that it's best to choose funds offered by a fund company advertising 5 stars.
No.
Why?
I would say conflict of interest.
Well, we could probably go there.
Yeah.
The author calls it availability errors.
Okay.
And he, when you hear Fidelity advertise the 5 stars and the 5 stars and the 5 stars,
mm-hmm.
when back in the 90s, I was way too involved with into the mutual fund world. I've never sold a mutual fund, but I had a friend who had a fund.
Okay.
Right. And so I got to watch what happened. He was with a company that no longer exists anymore. And in order for them to get IPOs, initial public offerings, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are companies that are going public for the very first time. In order for them to get their share of the IPO market, they had to agree with the investment houses, Goldman Sachs, whoever the investment bankers happen to be, to take a certain percentage, not just of the stocks that they wanted, but of all of them that investment banker was bringing to market.
So when you say your friend had a mutual fund, you mean he managed a mutual fund?
He was the manager.
Okay.
And so what would happen is there's somebody in the back room. So Sherry goes public. And nobody likes Sherry's stock. It's just bad
Gee,
stuff.
Thank
right?
you so
this
much.
This is just bad.
Okay.
Right? But.
Yes.
Right. But they have to agree to take a certain percentage of it because that's the deal, because they want some of Joe's stock, which is really, really, really good.
Yes.
Now, the problem is my friend didn't get to pick the stocks that he got and the stocks that he didn't get. Right. He could say, I want this one, but that didn't mean that he would necessarily get it.
Right.
Because they had 55 mutual funds. Right.
Yeah.
And the ones that were doing very well that were prone to get the 5 star for Morningstar, they would try to juice up the returns so that that company could say, hey, look at our 5 stars and look at our returns. And then they would forget to tell you about the other ones. The availability error is so bad. According to the author, some mutual fund companies exploit availability errors. One ran an ad promoting its four 5 star funds.
Okay.
Right. It turned out that these were 4 of 7 5 star funds among its 139 choices or other funds.
I see.
Right? So only 5% of their companies
are 5%.
5% of their funds had 5 stars,
right?
But they are advertising it, and so what people see is what they tend to believe, and it creates a huge dynamic for people.
Yes.
In terms of not understanding. Anyhow, it's a good article. And the other one that was in there that I think is important is hindsight errors. And that's where our ability to believe or inability to believe that what has happened in the past will not occur to happen in the future.
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody's done well for 10 years in a row, your belief is, well, they've done something right, they're going to do well the next year.
Mm.
And numbers can get people into trouble. We have talked on here before about Peter Lynch. And how his average return over 20 years was incredibly high. And yet in his own book, Lynch on Lynch, he will tell you over half his investors lost money.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, it's just really, really weird. This is an odd week. There's another company that's going private, Sherry.
Really?
And
they were public and they're going private?
Yeah. Dell did this a few years ago. Dell Computers. And what happens when let's go to the other end. Let's go when you're going public, when you decide that you want to go public, you're doing it because you need capital, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
For one of three reasons. Either reason number one, you wanted to borrow money and you couldn't borrow money. So the bond market or the banks weren't open to you. And so you had to sell equity. And anytime somebody is selling equity, you've got to be careful because they generally believe their future is not as bright as the people who are buying it.
Yeah.
Or they have capital because they think their future is so bright that they're willing to share it so that they can borrow from you today in the form of equity to be able to invest in the companies and do the things, right?
Right.
So it's one of those.
Right.
There, every now and then you'll have an owner, think Zuckerberg for Facebook, mm-hmm. right? Every now and then you'll have an owner that has $1 billion, but it's all in one company.
Yes, right.
And so you're trying to divest your ownership interest so that you've added diversification to your process, if you will.
Right.
The third one, however, is when the market is currently paying more for your type of company than it normally would.
Okay.
So if you go back to the late 90s, mm-hmm. remember Prudential, these were all mutual insurance companies.
Okay.
Right? And all of a sudden, they're no longer mutual companies. It wasn't that Prudential needed more money. It was that Prudential recognized people were paying an awful lot of money for financial companies.
Yeah.
And so all of these financial companies that were mutuals or were the closely held went public. There are a few notable exceptions, but most of them went public because they knew that they were getting a higher price than what they thought the market would normally do.
So the term mutual.
Mutual means the people that had policies actually owned it.
Okay.
And that's why they all got, actually, they got stock.
Yeah.
When the company went publicly traded. So in this case, I'm sitting on the board and I'm looking at my stock.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you know what? The share price is not indicative of what we believe the future value of this company is.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's the board's job is to protect the shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
But some investor can come up and say, hey, your stock's at $25 today on the open market. We're going to pay $30 a share, and then the board can vote whether or not they're going to accept the offer. And every now and then when this happens, you'll see class action suits because just because you're willing to sell it, you know, for $30 doesn't mean that I'm willing to sell it for $30.
Right.
But I elected those board members.
And
many times when people don't vote their shares, they don't understand that is part of the process.
That's part of the process,
but that's what's happening. They're buying all of the shares. So When you think about a publicly traded company, right,
mm-hmm.
you think about the Financial Enhancement Group, there's 100% of the Financial Enhancement Group, right?
Right.
Now, I could divide that into 100 shares.
Yeah.
I could divide it into 1,000 shares.
Sure.
I could divide it into 1,000,000 shares.
Sure.
It's still the same company.
Uh-huh. Right.
So when we talk about market capitalization, what people have to remember is it's not just the share price of the stock.
It's the number of shares.
It's the share price times the number of shares that are outstanding.
Hmm.
Microsoft has over 9 billion shares of stock outstanding most of the time, 10 billion sometimes.
Wow.
Harley-Davidson's closer to 300 million. Hmm. Right? So it's not that the share price is anywhere near equal.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number of shares that are actually there that are outstanding. So in this case, the company is going to go private. We had this happen where Warren Buffett bought one of our companies that we owned, that railroad a few years back. And, you know, we have no choice. The board of directors voted on it. We got a nice premium, which means it was much higher than the day that it closed. But the bad news is we lost a company that we wanted to keep, and people had to recognize capital gains.
That's what I was going to say, taxes, right?
Yeah, and there's not a darn thing you can do about it now.
Wow.
Again, inside of an IRA, you know, you don't have to deal with that. Inside of a publicly traded company, though, or inside of a retail account, when that happens, you're going to get hit with a tax liability. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Sherry Contos. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider This at yourlifeafterwork.com. While you're at the website, don't forget to get signed up for the Market Carver. It's a free video that I send out every Thursday. I'm more than happy to let you have it 3 to 4 minutes long, just telling you what we think's most important about the economy right now. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last 3 decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's Biz TV. On your time.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. 8945.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Reason number 12 why you should own a ThermoSpa's hot tub? They require no attachment to your home's plumbing. Thanks to the ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system that filters the water an incredible 144 times a day, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance. Call to receive a free DVD and brochure and find out how you can own a ThermoSpa's hot tub for only a few dollars a day. Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,000 savings coupon, including free delivery, free chemicals, and a cash discount. And with models starting at $4,995, there will never be a better time to own a ThermoSpa's hot tub. So call now and ask about this limited-time offer. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-956-7183 for your free DVD and brochure. That's 800-956-7183. ThermoSpa's, hot tubs designed to improve your life. Call 800-956-7183 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you?
timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. Unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Cantos.
We are happy to have you along. Hey, if you're new to the show, the whole point, the whole intent is to give you things that you might want to consider about your finances. I'm a certified financial planner, the managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. We take care of a little over $375 million now for families in 30 states. And it's as fiduciaries, I think it is incumbent upon us to try to help you understand the best we can about your money. I would love to help everyone.
Yes.
I know that I can't, and I know some of you don't even want that help. But my job is to try to educate you about your money. It's my why, if you're used to that expression, to educate you about your finances so that you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. So we try to be the go-to place when people have a question about their money. So I got the same question from two very different people in
really?
One week, both
okay.
off of Investopedia.
Okay.
Said, how should I save if at 25 years of age?
Okay.
Question number two was, how should my husband and I begin saving at age 51?
Aha.
All right. So it brings up a very, very important thing. My industry, the financial services world, is primarily based around a thing that's called suitability, Sherry. And suitability means, is this investment suitable for Sherry?
Right.
Right? Well, who gets to judge that exactly? Right? Who gets to make that decision?
Well, ultimately, it's my decision. But if I have my money with someone else, they're deciding that.
No.
Ultimately, it's my decision.
Ultimately, it's your decision. And under suitability, really what happens is there's a box.
Yeah.
And the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC,
yeah,
and FINRA figure out what you can put in the box. And one of the characteristics that they use is age.
Mm-hmm.
So they will make ridiculous statements that say things like, the younger you are, the more time you have to be able to invest to recover.
Okay.
So the box for a younger person is larger than a box for an older person because they have ostensibly less time to be able to use their money and recover from market corrections.
You are talking about suitability now.
It's under suitability.
So in the boxes are the amount of risk and volatility.
Risk is one of them, but age is a characteristic.
But they're saying the younger you are, you can tolerate more risk because you have longer.
That's how suitability works.
They're deciding that for you.
So you've got the SEC, then you've got FINRA, and then you've got what's called a compliance officer.
Yes.
At a broker dealer, at a firm, at Merrill Lynch or whatever.
Yeah.
And they may whittle the box down even smaller,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they say, no, we don't want that one. We want this one, you know, but then you have the box. So it's ultimately those three that say what I can sell, and we don't sell anything at the Financial Enhancement Group, but here are the things that I could sell to Sherry based on suitability if I wanted to.
If I wanted to, yeah.
And,
okay.
And they do strongly look at age, mm-hmm. which I just caution you, my friends. You know, I have people all the time that say, hey, Joe, I'm getting ready to retire. I cannot afford to take the risk that I once could.
Mm-hmm.
And though I totally understand that, I would tell you that you were taking more risk in the past than you probably should have,
mm-hmm.
you know, based on that mentality. But keep in mind, if two of you reach age 60 today, the actuaries tell us there's a 90% probability that one of you makes it to 90.
Yeah.
Right? So we're dealing with another 30 years. So the mindset that, hey, I'm 51 and now I'm older, you got to get out of your head. Mm. My youngest daughter is 21. but she's in college. She needs to use her money now.
Yeah,
right? I'm 51. I got plenty of years before I need to use my money, right?
Right.
So you can't think about it just as age-based. It's needs-based.
Yep.
So one of the things that I try to teach on this program is that when you look at your statements, whether you're 25, 45, 65, 95, people tend to look at them all the same way. They go down to the bottom, how much do I have? And what I need you to look at it is in two different ways. I need you to look at it based on the phase or stage of finance that you happen to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I need you to look at it from a tax perspective. So when you're younger, and I don't mean by age, I mean when you're new to saving. So the amount you've already accumulated is relatively small, and the amount that you're putting in matters a great deal. Okay, so let's say you've got $1,000 in account and you're going to save $5,000 this year in your 401k.
Mm-hmm.
The amount you're saving matters more than the amount that you've already saved. Okay,
right.
So during that phase, and remember, it's not age based, it's the stage of where you are in your savings process. During that stage, you're trying to save the right percentage of your income, number one. And number two, you're trying to build tax diversification. So you want some money that is after tax. You want some money that is tax-free, think Roth, and you want some money that is tax-deferred that's coming from your employer in a 401k plan, hopefully. Eventually, even though you're still saving that $5,000, Sherry, eventually you've accumulated so much that the $5,000 doesn't matter as much as protecting and growing what you've already accumulated.
Right.
That's when you enter what we call the preservation stage, and this is the only time average return matters. So if you're getting ready to do what I call land the plane, if you're getting ready to go into distribution, where you're actually pulling money out, where your two goals, by the way, here are the amount of volatility between distributions and the tax rate paid on the average dollar that you pull out. But if you're getting ready to land the plane and you're talking to somebody and they're talking to you about an average return during distribution, you need to vacate that situation very quickly. They do not understand how math works. They do not understand the variances in volatility. And it's a very problematic thing. I've seen people simply reduce the amount of average rate of return and think that's enough to overcome volatility. Well, tell that to 2000, to 2008, to 2002,
yeah,
to
yeah,
1987.
Yeah.
It's not that. And that doesn't mean you run for the hills and hide everything in cash in a coffee can in the backyard. That means you just have to understand, you know, where and what your directive is for that money part. So as a fiduciary, we don't function under suitability. I don't have a box of stuff that says, here's what I can sell Sherry at her young age based on where she is right now and where she's trying to go. I look at it and say, okay, Joe, based on what I know, and that's 31 years of being in this industry, it's a CFP, it's an adjunct professor from Purdue, you know, based on what I know, what would I do with my money if I were in Sherry's situation? I have to treat her money the same way that it is mine. And I do two things to start this conversation off. The first one is to help her articulate her financial vision.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it you're trying to go? Not a number based. It's not quantifiable. It's qualitative.
Right.
You know, one of my missionaries says he wants to give more money away at 65 than he spends on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
yeah.
I know his intent. Right.
Right.
One of my doc's wives says at 92, she doesn't want to be a bag lady.
Yeah.
Right. I got it. So I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the intent. So you articulate that financial vision in terms of where it is you want to go.
Yeah.
And then I have to say, okay, Joe, based on if I were at Sherry's age, if I was at Sherry's situation in Sherry's life, how would I treat her money if it were my own? And that's really the calling of a fiduciary. And you brought up a big important word earlier in conflict of interest.
Right.
You know, we have to put the cards on the table and say, hey, okay, I have a conflict of interest here.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that it's horrible. Sometimes there's no way to avoid it.
Right,
but we
right.
just need to be aware of what that is. At the end of the day, I get paid to manage money.
Yeah.
Right. So
right.
I believe that money ought to be here so that I can manage it, so that our business can run,
mm-hmm.
so I can pay my team of 25 people.
Right.
And so we can help the 850 families out that we help out.
Yeah, right.
But it's still, there is still that conflict of interest,
right,
if you
right,
will,
right.
that says, hey, this is what it is we do. So make sure everybody has their cards on the table. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. Go to yourlifeafterwork.com, 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Attention! Are you moving soon and don't know who to turn to? If you are moving or planning to move long distance or across the country, Moving APT is offering up to a 20% discount for radio callers this month. Let us handle and remove all the pain and stress in a long-distance move. Let Moving APT help you with your all-inclusive move, including packaging services, help with washers and dryers, mounted TVs, bed frames, and more. We can include packing and unpacking services, or ask for boxes, tape, bubble wrap, or labels. We also disassemble and reassemble appliances and TVs at your new home. Moving is difficult and stressful, so call Moving APT today to find the most professional movers to support you. If you are looking for a low-cost quote to move long distance or across the country, call us now. Call 800-716-0362. 800-716-0362. Get a guaranteed quote with up to 20% off. 800-716-0362.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-670-2142. 800-670-2142. That's 800-670-2142.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams, but now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Biz Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Sherry Kantos.
We are happy to have you along.
Yes.
This is the Sherry segment. Easy for me to say, apparently not.
Real questions from real people.
There you go. Yeah. And if you've got one, you can email us, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Yeah.
Or leave us a message at yourlifeafterwork.com. Or you can give us a call, 800-928-4001. Okay, Sherry.
Okay, so this question came from a person, and it's interesting because I was faced with a similar situation when I was younger. So the consideration is different.
Okay.
Okay? So when I was younger, I owned my own audio marketing business.
Okay.
And I, at some point in time, decided to sell it.
Okay.
It was a service. Primarily, I didn't have any capital, I didn't have any equipment. It was my name, the company name, and we had generated a recurring client list.
Okay.
Sold it.
In the accounting world, we call that goodwill.
Okay, goodwill. And they valued it. I sold it.
Okay.
I didn't think at all about tax implications. I didn't think at all about what could I do differently with this so that I don't get hit with XYZ because I'm about to retire. So the question is from someone who is about to retire, who does own a mom and pop business, who does have a small amount of capital in it, equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, if you're going to sell a business and hope to fund in some part your retirement through the sale of that business, mm-hmm. are there any things to consider in terms of how to do it to, in the words that the words that he used were to hide it from the IRS, but we're not going to say that. But I mean, what are the best ways to approach this situation?
It depends on, so the tax treatment, some of it is pretty well dictated by the IRS.
Right.
But some of it is an agreed upon thing by the new buyer and by the seller.
Right.
So you can...
Right.
You can kind of negotiate a little bit of that. The second part is then the stability of the new buyer. Are they financially secure enough that you don't worry about not getting your money back?
Mm.
Or are you wanting all of the money this year? Yes. So what we do many times, because remember how your tax brackets work, you've got a series of stair steps.
Right.
Right. And when you go up those steps, the higher brackets you go, the higher percentage you pay on that type of income. Right.
Right.
So your first step, married filing jointly, up to about 19 grand of taxable income. That's line 43 on your return. Up to about 19 grand, you're going to pay 10% tax. And then up to about 79,000 from 19 to 79, you're going to be taxed at 12%. Right.
Okay.
So what we, and then you go to 22 after that. So
right.
What we tend to do is have people try to do the transactions over a 2 year or longer period of time so that they're recognizing less income
in
any one calendar year, because you don't necessarily pay the tax on the whole sale.
Right. Right.
You pay the tax on the amount of money that you're essentially receiving. Now, there's a whole lot more to this than just that. But the tax consideration has to be a big part and the financial wherewithal of the other person. So,
okay. So does it matter? Because there are two moms and pops. One is set up as an LLC with a family member. The other is an S corp.
Nope. Same. Both of those are what's called pass-through entities. They both flow to the individual's 1040s.
Okay.
So they're both going to wind up there. That's not going to change anything. The thing that I would be most considering. So let's say somebody is 64 years old and they're looking at this.
Yeah.
Right. So just in all situations, you want to make sure you stay out of a silo. Right.
People
look at this as a singular individual decision. It is not. You have to, in order to be able to answer this question correctly, you have to know what their other taxable income is that they have coming in the form of what we call mailbox checks.
Yeah.
Those could be pensions. It could be Social Security if they've already started it.
Yep.
It could be rent from a building. It could be farm income.
That they're already receiving.
No. Don't get carried away here.
Yeah.
It's what they're already receiving and what we know they will receive in the future. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got $1 million sitting inside of a brokerage account that's an IRA or a 401k, you know, at 70, again, married filing jointly, you're going to have to put $34,000 to $35,000 a year of taxable income on your return. You know that that's coming.
Right.
You know, Social Security, you can go to socialsecurity.gov and figure out what that's going to be.
Right.
Right. So you want to make sure that you have recognized all of the income that you're going to get in the most efficient tax mechanism as possible.
Mm.
If you look at your mailbox checks, and it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you're always going to be in the 12% bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make sure you're taking enough money every year to stay in at the very top of that 12% bracket. You may say, Joe, I don't need money out of my IRA this year. And I'm going to say, Sherry, that is true. However, I want to recognize everything we can at 12%. Because if something happens to you, your husband is going to be in a tax bracket that is going to be that becomes compressed. Remember, it's $19,000 if you're married filing jointly.
Right.
It's $9,500 if you're single.
Jeez.
Right. The IRA doesn't disappear.
Right.
The larger of the two Social Security checks tends to staying around.
Yeah.
You've got the sale of this business that's going on.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to see somebody propelled into a higher bracket in their future than where they were. You know, and all this is over the loss of a spouse. So you really want to work that into the equation to help people understand. So my job, and it's why we work with the CPA firms that we do, my job is not to come up with a valuation of the business.
Right.
My job is not to help them figure out Section 199A, even though I study it and read it just because I'm a geek. That's not my job. That's why I have the Bens and the Maggies and the Bretts and the Links and, you know, all the CPAs that we work with. You know, in multiple offices across the state of Indiana. But it is an important thing. Just please hear me when I say it is not a silo decision.
So let me just bring this up because you're going to be surprised at this, maybe. So as I'm having this conversation, the conversation is, when I turn 65, I can retire and start getting Social Security. I said, when were you born?
Mm-hmm.
It's not 65.
Right. It's probably 66, maybe 67.
Yes. So maybe we ought to just go for our listeners through that. I mean, it's like if you're born in the magic years of...
Right. And again, you can go to socialsecurity.gov. Almost everybody who's not collected, if not everybody who's not collected it already, full retirement age was 66.
Yeah.
I'm 67.
Yeah.
That's the oldest age.
I'm somewhere in between.
66 in a few months. Somewhere in that vicinity. So it's different. But full retirement age is a very, very important part of the equation to know. It is the age you can stop Social Security if you elected to take it early. It's one of the outs that you can have and then wait to restart it again until you turn 70, which depending on your financial situation may or may not be the right thing. But the key thing is do not make any of these decisions in a silo fashion where you think it's just one decision. You got to have all of the cards out on the table, thinking of the conditions. And that's really why we have the checklist that we have.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get lost in the complexity when you get a checklist and you can go down this little flowchart. Makes life a lot better. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Sherry Kontos. Sherry and I wish you guys a wonderful week. If there's anything at all we can do to be of service, don't hesitate to call 800-928-4001. Take care.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.